This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, hour number three, we have Jason Rance from Seattle. He's the talk show host in his own right, joining us at the bottom of the hour to highlight some nuttiness out there. We have a lot of kookiness in the Pacific Northwest. Sean Spicer is going to jump on here in a second. We're going to talk about Doge and a lot of other things. But let me kind of preview that just a little bit here with a little background on some things that have happened today. Last night on CNN and then on the X, formerly Twitter, we did have a situation where we aired quite a bit, and we had some sound bites of Elon Musk in the Oval Office with President Trump on Doge, because you have hyperventilating out there from the legacy media on money actually being cut. So I actually retweeted, so I was going to kind of share a story here. I retweeted something from the CBS Evening News where they had a story that came out, it was from last night, that said Trump has paralyzed agency that safeguards workers' rights, labor experts and advocates say. And whenever I do that, I have to play this, right? Oh, yeah. It's terrible what he's doing. So my response was, as I just accidentally closed my X window here, which was dumb, my response was to actually ask this person, or to ask the Twitterverse, on that CBS story, hang on, because I'm paging down to it here again, is I said, look, what's the chance that the legacy media will actually ask questions related to, you know, the actual waste in the fraud that's going on? Because, in other words, and I'm having problems pulling this up, in other words, there's all these complaints on the part of CNN and Dana Bash and Caitlin Collins, all these things. They're very, very worried about what's happening with the takeover, or whatever they want to refer to it as. And the bottom line is that they're just kind of rooting out a bunch of nonsense. So I tweet about this, and then somebody says, well, you can't, how can you provide some waste, fraud, and abuse? There, I think I found it here. So my question was, and I apologize for hopping around, that's what happens when you close your window. Do you think there will ever be a moment when CBS News, when at CBS News and others, will start investigating waste and abuse instead of people uncovering it all? And then on my tweet, I said, well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course, the answer is no. And somebody on Twitter responded, you really need to get your head out of your ass on this one. There is no, quote, audit going on, just Musk and the teen boys and other hired henchmen pointing to spending they don't like and calling it fraud. And then I was asked this question: can you point to any fraud? I can, but let's kind of approach that from a different perspective. I didn't say anything about fraud in my tweet. We could talk about fraud if you want to talk about fraud. I said waste and abuse. There's a lot of waste and abuse. I think that's what's been highlighted right now. So can I point to any fraud? Let's see if I can do that. Because all I had to do is Google fraud in U.S. government. And here's a big page from the IRS. You don't have to believe me. It's not from CBS News. It's not from Fox News. It's not from AB. It's not from any of those. It's not from the National Review or some other conservative publication or outlet like Hot Air. No, this is from the IRS. The IRS criminal investigation team released updated COVID fraud statistics on the fourth anniversary of the CARES Act. That was March 28th of last year. Let's fast forward to March 28th of this year. You know how much they investigated as of last year in fraud from just the CARES Act? This isn't fraud in the Department of Defense. It's not Medicare fraud. It's not Medicaid fraud. This is just the CARES Act. We all predicted that this would be fraud. Cut checks to the entire country, right? 9 billion dollars. $9 billion. So when the question was asked of me, can you point to any fraud? I responded, sure can. Shut the F up. And I released that. The best response, and this is how these people are broken. You have friends like this. They don't know what to do right now. They're lost. They got their asses kicked and handed to them in this election. They don't understand how people can't be offended by everything that this guy does, and also that he's doing exactly what he promised. So this person on Twitter said that's from March 28th of 2024. I don't care when it's from. The fraud existed. It didn't go away. It's grown since last March. That's the best you can do. And I pointed out, look, we're going after waste first. There's literally billions and billions of waste. So my advice is you better settle in and get used to it, because this person referred to the teenagers. The teenagers are blowing this S up right now, and it's glorious. They are draining the swamp, and it's not going to stop. And Elon did a great job in the White House explaining all this. And he even said, we played the soundbite. Look, they're not going to be perfect, right? Meantime, and I'll bring Sean into the conversation here in just a second. You have Democrat lawmakers that are out there with the federal employees unions screaming about all this because, you know, it's Chicken Little, the sky is falling. And they like to use a little profanity here with Trump.
I'm from Jersey, so I look a little differently. I say, f*** Trump.
I don't swear in public very well, but we have to f*** Trump.
What they meant to say, Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Those are Democratic lawmakers screaming that out. They are completely broken right now. Sean Spicer is back with us to highlight some of the nuttiness. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing great. There's snow is coming down in the greater D.C. area, and it's the only time that legitimately Elon's probably comfortable with federal employees going home, and I still don't think that he's comfortable. Change is upon us, Mark. And it's just every day brings a new reason why I'm so excited that this administration is back.
I guess I'm not surprised by, you know, the reaction on the media's part in particular. But, man, they are hyperventilating. They don't know what's happened to them. I heard Mark Halperin yesterday talking about how, you know, this is really dizzying out there because so much is happening. But is it just me, Sean Spicer? Rhetorical question. Or are the teams on CNN and MSNBC only focusing on who is uncovering the waste, not the actual waste itself? They just want to focus on Musk and Trump, really Musk right now, you know, call him President Musk. They don't want to focus on the actual things being uncovered, do they?
No. Not only that, Mark, but you're asking all the right questions. Like, here's my question that no one will still ask. Who put this in there in the first place? It is literally criminal. The idea that I understand foreign policy and the need for the U.S. to show strength and soft power abroad in certain places. But you tell me, does $100,000 dance, a DEI trans carnival in Ireland make us somehow stronger or deter China in Dublin or Shannon, Ireland? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And yet no one is asking those questions. Where is it? Who put this in there? How long has it been there? The idea, or my better yet, is all the libs like Andrea Mitchell and Kristen Welker who go, well, it's not that much.
Yes.
You know, everyone at CNN, it's only a few million. It's only a few hundred thousand, a few million, 50 million. You know, it's never enough. That's not worth real discussion.
That's the best they have. That you kind of beat me to the punch, because I was going to tell you that. I was going to scold you, Sean. I mean, come on. It's not that much. I'd like to say to the IRS what I pay in federal taxes every year. You know what? In the whole scheme of things, it's not that much. You're not going to miss it, right?
Yeah, you try that. Tell me how that works for you.
But I don't.
I just, you know what I love is I've been in and out of campaigns and government for 30 years. There's always an excuse. We can't do it this way. It's not enough. And finally, somebody is saying enough is enough. We're going to respect the tax dollars that get sent. Look, I get it. Taxes are part of life, unfortunately, but we live in a democracy where we need, you know, a national defense and a government that does certain things. But I don't want it wasted. It's disrespectful. And we keep getting told by both parties for decades, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll have a commission.
Yeah.
It's always an excuse. And now we're getting it done and pulling it out by the root. And you know, the funny thing is, for all these Democrats, Mark, and the members of the media who said, well, we should be a little bit more surgical. I go, you know what? You had your chance for years, for decades. You could have said, hey, we'll look for waste. We want to root it out. We want to stay focused. But I actually think it's worse than that. I think that this is where Democrats and folks on the left have been using these institutions as ways to pay off their allies, to prop up their policies. This wasn't, like, it didn't get inserted some random way. They knew what they were doing, and they got caught. And the reason that they don't want Elon Musk to have access to these records is because they finally realized that somebody's going to expose it. That's it. Full stop.
Oh, I agree completely. And, you know, you talk about, let me go back to your point about commissions and blue ribbon panels and all this other nonsense. Because, look, I was extremely interested, and I liked Alan Simpson. They did Simpson-Bowles Commission. I remember talking to Senator Simpson in the aftermath of some of this about the recommendations. That's fine. They never take place. So I'm done with it, too. I'm sick of it. I've heard of this 45 years. You know, Ronald Reagan, I started with that. Reduce the size of government.
Commission. Remember the Grace Commission?
Yes, that was another one.
Yeah. It's always, again, is why we can't do it. And I feel like every time, you know what it is? Maybe it's just because I was stuck in a doctor's office for, you know, way too long today. But I feel like every time I go in and they say, Sean, you got to lose a little bit more weight. And I go, well, I'm getting a little older. And, you know, the ice cream. It's like, I know how to make excuses with the best of them. And Mark, it's like, that's the government equivalent of it. It's always a reason why it can't be done.
Well, let's talk about immigration a little bit, because obviously there's a lot being done on that right now. But you also wrote a piece for Newsweek. I mean, obviously some of this stuff is a little cosmetic and just fixing what's happened in the last 4 years. But your point is, you know, it's got to go beyond the executive orders. And now they have the numbers to maybe do something.
Exactly. And here's my point on this. Immigration is the perfect example. What can be done through executive order can be undone by executive order. And so all the great things that President Trump is doing, let's face it, he's got, you know, just shy of 4 years. Hopefully J.D. Vance or somebody continues this for 8 more. But we can't risk undoing it. We have a Republican House. We have a Republican Senate. So let's use this opportunity on several fronts. But I think immigration is one of them, where we've talked a lot over the years about codifying some of these changes that we've talked about, getting new border patrol in, unleashing their ability to do stuff, reexamining how we bring people into this country, whether it's merit-based or, you know, how educate. I mean, like, there's a lot of factors, but let's do it while we know that we can control both houses and the presidency. Because mark my word, I believe, I've said this many times, I think the Democrats had a larger political plan in place. They wanted to use open borders to bring in new voters. If we don't use this opportunity now, in the next 2 years, to codify some of the changes that we want in immigration, it will be our fault. So Congress needs to step up. I know there's a reconciliation bill. We can do this. But the reality is that things like immigration and a couple other things, I have a newsletter coming out today. It's free. SeanSpicer.com. I launched it. Right. I talk about the things that we need to get done. So I mentioned it in the Newsweek column, but I'm beating the drum, which is, guys, we have we have a Republican Congress for 4 years. Hopefully Donald Trump, you know, can use that. And keep going. But I want to sort of, I feel like, you know, one of those self-help gurus that says, first thing you should do is the hardest things. Get up in the morning, accomplish it. And immigration is one of those things that we have talked about for a long time. Trump has led the way on it. Let's lock in the wins and codify the law with the policies that will ensure that the Dems can't just undo it if they ever take back the White House.
Yeah, I'm encouraged just because they're off to a good start here, and there seems to be focus on a lot of this, and time is of the essence. I think we all know that. What is your thought? Sean Spicer's back with us here this afternoon. Are you buying beachfront in Gaza at this point? Your thoughts on that plan from Trump? You know, the one thing I said is, you know, what resonated with me a week ago, and I think what resonated with the American people, is saying nothing else has worked. So I don't know what this plan is all about specifically and if it's going to work, but I do know he's right. Nothing else has worked.
Well, that's it. You're exactly right. I think we're thinking alike on this, which is same thing with DOGE, right? For 50 years, we've been told two-state solution. That's the only way it'll work. Trump realizes, all right, maybe some out-of-the-box thinking on this. But here's what happened. I mean, look at what Jordan and Egypt and all these places where he said we could resettle some of these folks. They came today and said, okay, how about this? We'll start with 2,000. Okay, that's not solving the problem. But at least he's forcing these guys to the table and saying, if you don't think of a creative idea, I will, and you may not like it. So come to the table. Just even if it's a negotiating tactic, it's brilliant. It's thinking outside the box,
yes.
Approaching things that we've been told. But this gets back to over and over again, we can't do it. It's never done that way. It's always done this way. This is how it always works. Let's bring some new out-of-the-box thinking in for the first time in a long time.
Hey, I'm just on your Twitter page right now, and I have to, because Will Scharf, you know, he's a Missouri guy, and we see Will up there with all the executive orders.
He retweeted me last night.
I know, so explain this. You say in the fall of 1991, you wrote a paper on why you hated your internship, and you got an A.
Right. Well, so a buddy of mine who was a year ahead of me said, I was going to D.C. to do an internship and take some classes. He said, I know this great place. You should try it. I know you love politics. You'll love it. I went to this federal agency that trains federal executives how to testify in front of Congress, and I hated it. And I wrote a paper about why I hated my internship. But the broader point of the paper was that sometimes it's not just what you like to do, it's what you don't like to do that helped guide your decision-making, right? So to me, it was, oh, my God, I never want to work in an office like this. I think that this government agency set up is like somewhat akin to a prison sentence. And so I wrote this paper. I got an A in it. And last night when Will Scharf, you know, is doing those things, he hands me, he says, let's eliminate this agency. And it was the agency that I hated during my internship.
And what is it? Which agency?
Well, it's now called the Federal Executive Institute. And what it does is it trains federal executives. So like it's like a college course, except it's permanent. So if you're going to go testify in front of Congress, it says, OK, come to our class. And it's a bunch of bureaucrats to teach other bureaucrats how to interact with Congress. It's probably not it's just back to it's not the biggest piece of the pie.
Yeah, but still. That's fascinating.
It's several people, and I was like, I guarantee you, nobody knew that that thing existed, and I was laughing when Will Scharf did that. So I tagged him in the thing. He obviously retweeted it, but it was just so funny because it's what, 32, 33 years ago.
That's hilarious. That is good. You know, by the way, if Saturday Night Live, I don't think they've done this yet. If they don't have a Will Scharf character on SNL and, you know, Trump signing with the market, they're not funny anymore, but I do think it would be hilarious. No, and we love Will, the job that he's doing
right
now.
There's some funny social media memes where it's like, Mr. President, I'm presenting. There's one that I saw yesterday that says, this executive order gets rid of those ducks that people who drive Jeeps put in their windshield, as we know. Will does the place the part beautifully.
Oh, it's awesome. Then one final question for the guy that used to be in that room with the media. How about Carolyn Leavitt and a young woman doing an extremely hard job exceptionally well right now?
A plus. You know, she handles it with grace and a sense of wit. And it's just she has a command of the issues. If she was on Dancing with the Stars, I'd give her a 10.
There you go. Spicer, always great to hook up with you. Hope your year is going well.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. See you, Sean.
All right. Yeah, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.